Hello, sports fans and kittens out there. Welcome to another edition of Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, thanks for tuning in on a very Sunday evening, around about 7:30 p.m. there, you know, and such. What a happy-go-lucky weekend we've had in the state of Michigan as far as winning concern there. A positive broadcast. We might have some twits and witches got to sneak into this particular ensemble here. However, we'll get by with what we got here and then some here. So without further ado, let's have at it with some sports news you can't get enough of, okay? This afternoon, boys and girls, I witnessed the Detroit Lions playing the Minnesota Vikings. And yes, I used the witches and twitches kind of dialogue there. It was kind of hard to see the Lions do what they did today and almost screw it up. Let me tell you about it here. After tallying 10 losses and a tie in the first 11 games, the Lions joined the rest of the NFL in the win column on Sunday with a thrilling 29-27 upset victory of the Minnesota Vikings. The win marks the first for rookie head coach Dan Campbell, who seemed very, very happy and then some. That's an understatement. And kind of, you know, maybe for maybe 1 week, we can be positive about the guy and how he runs our football team here. I will try to do, but I know it's not going to work here because it's just too many things that we as the general public or Lion fans should not have to go through this year. And I'll say why in a few. Oh, boy. Two winless season. The Lions didn't need that there. The Lions secured the victory on 14 plays, 75-yard drive in the final $1.50 in change. That was by Jared Goff with a touchdown pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown. As time expired. Oh, man. What a deal here. Jared Goff. This is the spooky part of this whole situation here. Before all this funny bunny stuff happened, Jared Goff made a call on the field in the first half against the Minnesota Vikings at Ford Field. And I mean, I don't know what people could do. But here's the deal with me there. I'm still shaking my head and about to fend off the two winless season there. And it really was a shame there. But here's the deal with this particular situation, as I still shake my head there. While holding a 23-21 lead with 4 minutes and 8 minutes remaining, the Lions faced a 4-1 on their own 28-yard line there. Jared Goff, he kind of faked a handoff to the running back, Jamal Williams, before rolling out to his right. He immediately was met by a Minnesota linebacker. His name was Blake Lynch, who didn't fall for the play. Now, Goff dodged him the best he could. I still think he could be a lot mobile than what he is. However, Lynch stripped him and took the ball. And Minnesota had the ball in the 19-yard line. From that point on, Minnesota did what they had to do to make things very jolly by scoring. Oh, boy. The scenario of this particular show is really going to get upsetting there. So they do get on the board with 27-23 at this time with 1:50 ago, and that's when the Lions go through all these goodies here. And I can't understand why a play was secured down there with time left and all this time left here, and a bonehead play like this on 4th and 1 at their own 28-yard line was negated. I can't understand. But again, everybody held their breath or their gas or whatever they were holding, beers, and they stuck it through there, some with a majority of the place running out by sundown when Minnesota kind of won, or they thought won the game there. But the Lions win. We should all be happy, like me. It's better than talking about a loss where Santa Claus and all the people who had all these headgear and all these other things, it's the holiday time of the year, and everybody was just festive for this particular game. All showed up, by the way. Let's move on, okay? You know, we enough of the Lions. In my 5 minutes of it, I just had to get it off my chest there. And before I said certain things there, I kind of had to pause. Because, I don't know. Let's just take the victory and run. Speaking of victory and run, Michigan, the University of Michigan, has been selected to participate in the college football playoff semifinals that will be played at the Capital One Orange Bowl. Wolverines were ranked number 2 by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, and they'll face number 3, Georgia, on December 31st at 3:30 or at 7:30. Time has not been locked down as of yet, but they'll be playing in that game on the 31st of December. Michigan becomes the 3rd Big Ten team to advance to the college football playoff semifinals. They joined Michigan State and also Ohio State. Now, Michigan defeated Iowa by a score of 42-3, which was very surprising to me, seeing Big E for Iowa and Mr. Wooden for the University of Michigan there, tearing up on the field doing pregame ceremonies and all the other good stuff there. But that's just to say, the playoff with this particular game was tremendous. And it didn't get that way, you know, until Michigan started just running over everybody there. And they did. They did. It was a great job by the Big Ten, the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis. Also the 2 teams, Iowa and the University of Michigan, the 2 bands on the field when they took the moment of silence for the people who were no longer with us because of the heinous act that was dealt with in Oxford. Lions did a class act with that particular as well. Michigan did a huge class act by allowing the family members of Oxford's football hero to go on the field as honorary captains there. I thought that was a very classful act. And flew them down there, hotel, the whole 9 yards, just to get their minds maybe in a softer place before the inevitable. They're going to need a lot of friends and a lot of prayers. So keep praying for this particular families and all the families. And there are many who, in this area of Oxford, Michigan, are affected with something very, very bad in there. You don't wish that on anybody's child or anybody else's adult. I'm just plain and simple. Getting back to this Big Ten thing with the particular, the playoffs, I should say, Cincinnati will be in this particular as well. They will face Alabama, who was ranked number 1. I don't want to get it all into this particular, maybe I will, okay? I think this voting committee for this 14 Stupidity Act that they bring up to play every single year until now, that needs to cease. There's no way Alabama's number 1. I don't care where they come from, who they beat up, or whatever it may be. Their record is 10-2. And that should have been recognized. Michigan was 10-1. Should be recognized. Georgia lost a game. Recognize it. However, Cincinnati didn't lose a beat. And if I had it my way, Cincinnati should be the number one seed. Period. They're in Division One, as of all the other daggone teams. They, no one has no right to judge what league is better than the other. And still they start having the doggone guts and schedule one another and find out for sure. Hopefully that will be the push of the NCAA Division One Football Committee to do so, besides see all these little heinous games being scheduled, like for Alabama, Smoky Stack, college and all this other stuff here. You say Notre Dame not a good team? Oh, well. But they'll be playing in the Orange Bowl. We're talking about Cincinnati and Alabama. Now, a whole lot of scenarios we go through there. I'm quite sure tomorrow on the Game Sports Show, we'll talk a whole heck of a lot about it. And then some of the scenarios. But in this case, we can't say the teams, the Southeast Division, I don't know what to say about that. I'm quite sure we'll have a solution on that maybe tomorrow. But what's done is done. Michigan State and Ohio State, they earned berths in New Year's Eve's 6 bowl games. Buckeyes is going to be headed to the Rose Bowl. The Spartans will be playing in the Peach Bowl. And that is rearing backwards because the Spartans beat Ohio State. Why should they go to the Peach Bowl when they should have been going to the Rose Bowl? Head-to-head competition don't mean anything anymore, do they? Oh, well. But congratulations to both those institutions as well. There's a couple other, several other teams in the Big Ten who's joined bowl games. I didn't have time to look all of it up, but I'm quite sure everything should be posted by Tuesday at the latest. So, well, absolutely know that a million of bowl games being played around the United States, so it'll get that way. In the meanwhile, this also this Sunday, the University of Detroit Mercy, they earned their second straight Horizon League victory. They're 2-0 in the Horizon League with a 64-56 victory over University of Illinois at Chicago. In the wins, Chicago Antoine Davis became the Horizon League all-time leader in three-point goal, breaking the previous record set by Titans Rashad Phillips. That's a long time ago. Now, for the record here, Oakland is also 2-0, who's in the Horizon League, but they have a 7-2 record. Detroit Mercy has a 2-0 record in the Horizon League. However, they have a 2-6 overall record. Think about it. You got nothing else to do. So we'll see how that goes for the Horizon League there. I know some Big Ten teams played Saturday, but, you know, they got to play some more before the Big Ten starts their season up. And that's what I care about the most. Maury Sider, he scored with 3:33 left in overtime. And the Detroit Red Wings beat the Islanders by a score of 4-3 on Saturday night, handling the New York Islanders their 10th straight loss. Philip Hronek, Sam Gagne, and Giovanni Smith, they also scored for the Red Wings, who won their season-high 5th straight game. A team in Michigan, a professional team, over 500. Alex Nedelko, I had this right when I was doing my practice there, Nedeljkovic had 20 saves in there. And also, I was very impressed, more or less, in this particular game that I took a whiffle down there at Little Caesars Arena to find out how many blocks the Red Wing forwards and defensemen took in front of their goaltender. It was a total of 21 blocks or hits of them pucks hitting those, all kinds of extremities on the bodies of the Detroit Red Wings, the block pucks and stuff. They play. They're getting better, and they're believing in themselves. Believe me, there's a difference between night and day, between the beginning of the season and what this team is doing right now. And the two rookies, and three rookies, I should say. Vonick, we haven't talked about him yet, but he's doing pretty well and making contributions as well. Some of these people, like Javonte Smith, who's not getting a whole heck of a lot of ice time, per se, they're making it do for whatever it's worth by making contributions physically and otherwise there. Javonte Smith, yesterday, he just missed the old-fashioned hat trick set by Gordie Howe with one assist. He had one assist. He had one goal. And he didn't get in a fight, so that hat trick was not scored. But I'm quite sure if he got in a fight, we would have saw hats flying on the ice there. But the Red Wings also, they celebrated in this particular game. Alex DeVecchio, who I have gotten to know throughout my years of covering the Red Wings, he's 90 years old on Saturday night. They gave him one of the video boy extravaganza that was second to none. And then, at best, he was in the building yesterday. So I got to see him and say hello to him and happy birthday. Social distancing, of course, boys and girls. Yes, it did. But that was cool. That was cool indeed. I'm going to close the show with, you know, there's going to be a lot of college coaches, if not already, is hitting the hiatus and trying to make some free money and going to get new jobs in Denver. The latest is Mario Cristobal of the University of Oregon is talking to the University of Miami in an extensive discussion there. And this was reported by ESPN on Sunday. Cristobal, by the way, he has a very, very long and lucrative contract to remain with the Oregon Ducks there. But it must be a clause in there at a certain period of time. He can talk to anybody he wants and break that contract. So we'll see how this Bubblegum Machine Act goes as time goes on. I'm quite sure we'll get some results of it sooner than later there. College football coaches are really making some bucks here, you know, and going to the right institutions. But Jones Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Production. I'm going to watch NXT's special on the Peacock Network tonight there. It should be pretty cool indeed there, but you know what can you say about it? What can you say? And again, it's a presentation of My Darling Production. Check me out on Facebook always, boys and girls. Facebook is the place to go with Butch on Sports. You can also go to the home base at Podomatic.com. Just type in SimpleButchToO.podomatic.com. You can also get it at thegamesportshow.podbean.com as well. And yes, God willing, I'll be available for the Game Sports Show tomorrow night, Monday night, from, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, okay, on 1400 ESPN in Sault Ste. Marie. Okay? Hey, y'all have a great, great beginning of the week. It don't look good on the weather outside. I see the Upper Peninsula got snow and then some. And excuse my scratchy throat as I leave this broadcast. It's raining down here. Have a great start of the week.